We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Welcome in to Cody and Gold.
Are you ready?
You are clear to engage.
Showtime!
On 610 Sports Radio and the Odyssey app.
I've already told you how I feel about people's need to order fajitas at restaurant, and
you know there's a place
look
just,
at me attention.
You know there's a place
that comes with ordering that
you don't
dish.
Like fajitas?
I didn't say that. I'm saying people order them at the restaurant because they want
no,
people
they
to look at them.
No, they don't. Because they're amazing.
It is a desperate need for attention.
No, I like fajitas occasionally. I will say there's nothing unique about fajitas. They're the same everywhere.
Yes.
Fajitas are very good. Like, you think it is people want everybody seeing the hot steaming plate come to their table?
It might be one of the easiest things you could make for yourself at home.
It does.
Yeah, I can make a steak at home,
stream,
too. I can make a steak.
I want people to think I have money.
No.
By ordering fajitas.
Oh, I just ordered the tacos, but I ordered these $19 fajitas that sizzle through the whole restaurant.
I'm not going to lie.
It is very much an attention grab.
Here's Cody Tapp and Alex Gold.
1 o'clock hour here on a Thursday. It is Cody and Gold. Alex Gold, Cody Tapp, Stephen Serta with you. We're 30 minutes away from your next chance at $1,000 in our national cash contest. And Vern going to take over 1 hour from now for the On Deck show as we get some Royals baseball here on the home for the Royals, 610 Sports Radio. And if you do go to 610sports.com, you may have already seen it. We've been telling you about it throughout the week. A really cool partnership between the Lyric Opera and the Negro Leagues Baseball Museum. Baseball, a musical love letter. It's scheduled for May 7th through the 14th over at the Lyric Opera's Production Arts Building. And right now you can go to 610sports.com, click on contest, and register to win a free pair of tickets to that event at the Lyric Opera. I now feel like it's required for us to ask every guest today on the show, given the very serious fajita conversation we had. And now we have a little broadcast news. We welcome in Lynn Jennings, sports director over at Channel 9. Lynn, good to have you on the show. I need to know where you stand, first of all, I guess, on fajitas.
I hopped on, I was listening to you guys trash talk at the fajitas, and I am a big fajita guy. I get them every time I go to any Mexican restaurant. There's a great one down in Surprise, Arizona, the best fajitas when I go cover Royal spring training, but I always love the fajitas. I'm not much of a cook at home, so Cody, they're not that easy for some people to make. But I do enjoy them, and I didn't realize that they had this kind of stigma that when you get the fajitas, that people are watching. I had no idea.
I wouldn't even go as far as stigma, Lynn. I had never heard of this until Cody brought it up.
Shocker, by the way. People who have chosen to be on radio and shout at people or be on TV to get looked at also love attention-loving foods. I'm not saying I don't also love attention. There's a clear reason we have chosen our career paths.
The text line wants to know too, Lynn, and I guess we both can ask this question towards Cody, either his kids or himself. Has he ever told the restaurant it's his birthday? Because that's attention-seeking.
Oh, interesting. That's kind of an interesting one. I know that there are some other places where you tell them your birthday, you get free food. So, I'm always looking for a free meal. So if they're going to hand those out, absolutely, 100%. But the whole singing thing, and I've been at places where maybe someone has lied about it being a birthday just so they can get the attention. There, you're crossing the line.
Yeah,
I've never done anything like that.
I was gonna say. Look, I don't know what we're gonna have you on for a couple minutes here, Lynn. While we're doing this interview, feel free if you want to text Brian Busby and get us some word on the weather in Chicago. Are we getting this game in or not today against the White Sox? Feel free to just give us a little heads up on that. But as far as the Royals and what you've seen through five games, what's been the most optimistic thing you've seen so far?
I love it. I love this team. And I think it's going to be a fun team to watch. Some of the things, I think Nicky Lopez, I think it's great to see him because you felt bad about this guy. Ever since he came up, he's just been struggling to kind of fit in. And I remember this happened with the late Yordano Ventura a few years ago when they sent him down, and he went, he didn't even make it to Omaha. He went to the hotel, and then I think it was Vargas who got hurt. Someone got hurt, opened up a spot, so they called Yordano and had him come back, and he was lights out like the rest of the way. It's almost kind of like that little mentality like you're getting sent down that, oh my gosh, this is serious, I got to kind of pick it up. And Nicky Lopez is taking huge advantage of it right now. He's playing extremely great baseball, and it's fun to watch, and I'm happy for him because he's a good kid, and he had so much fanfare when he was in Omaha, and then he got called up, and it just hasn't been able to kind of work out for him ever since he got called up. So, but there's so many great things about this team. Love seeing it. Love seeing Jacob Junis pitch well yesterday. Yeah, Whit Merrifield awfully off to a great start. So it's fun. Kyle Isbell, I mean, I remember him from last spring training making, like, Alex Gordon dive catches during spring training last year, and he was kind of on everyone's radar. And then, you know, he's kind of proving that he belongs in the majors too. So many great stories with this team. Love him.
The thing I would say about what you're talking about, Yordano getting sent down then calling back up, that I hadn't thought about it is it's competition. Like, they have guys who can challenge Nicky and take his spot. They didn't have that last year, even at a time in which he struggled. They had guys at that time with Yordano Ventura who could challenge his spot. Like, to me, that speaks a little bit, Linda, roster depth. Like, they are a much deeper team than they were, especially 2 years ago, but they're certainly deeper than they were last year as well.
Absolutely, because even last day of spring training, I actually asked Mike Matheny about, you know, because he was talking about the decision that he made to call up Kyle Isbell and Brent, the pitcher, Brent, what's his first? I can't remember his first name. When you
Jake?
Hit 50, you lose things, but I can't remember things as much. But Jake Brent, yeah,
Jake.
And he was saying how great it is to break that news, and I kind of asked him, on the other side of that, you guys have so much depth. There are probably a lot of kids that you feel like could play here, but you had to tell them that they can't. And he's like, it was difficult. And it was a lot more difficult this year because of all that depth that this team has, that they have people, you know, like Bobby Witt. I know everyone wants Bobby Witt. I would love to see Bobby Witt. But there's guys like that, Daniel Lynch, that you're just kind of hoping and waiting to see for these guys to come up. And Asa Lacy, I mean, you know, so you know, the future looks bright for the Kansas City Royals.
We're talking to Len Jennings of Channel 9 here during broadcast news on Cody and Gold. As far as the Chiefs goes, we switched away from the Royals. We're getting closer and closer to the draft. And I don't know if you had seen the tweet that was out there from Greg Rosenthal of NFL Network. There was Peter Schrager from NFL Network the other day talking about the offseason for Kansas City. And the point that Greg Rosenthal had made was, well, the Chiefs are sitting at $20 million in cap space right now. The fact that they have that cap space now on April the 8th is a sign that things went horribly wrong in the offseason. And I disagreed quite a bit with that. Yes, they missed on Trent Williams, Lynn, but they got $20 million in cap space, and they still were able to go out and get the best guard available. They were able to get Jaron Reed, for example, as well.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not too worried about the Kansas City Chiefs. I think you're right. They missed out on Williams, but I think that they and I think that was a big miss for the Kansas City Chiefs, because you got to find a way to protect your number one asset. And so they're short on tackles. But as far as that the offseason hurt them, I don't agree with that. I mean, I think the Chiefs are going to be just fine. You know, we got the draft coming up. I know they're not, you know, they're picking late first round. You know, there's probably some of the players who they really, really would like to have but will not be available at that time. But, you never know what the Chiefs are going to do on draft day anyways. But it's, you know, I think they're going to be fine. I mean, they got, you, like you said, Alex, they got a whole bunch of, you know, good guards in camp, and you know, but yeah, I mean, they do need a tackle or two for this team coming up in fall. But I have all the confidence in the world that it's going to be figured out by the time they kick off and open the season.
It's got to remind people sometimes to compare it to what the line was really week 8 last season, when we thought that line was good enough to win a Super Bowl versus what they were in the Super Bowl. I think sometimes, Lynn, when people panic about a line, they're like, "Oh God, it was so bad." I'm like, "Well, it's really only that bad for that one game." I know they haven't solved left tackle yet, but they're equal at center, in my opinion. They're significantly better at left guard. They're the same or better at right guard. Right tackle is a bit of a misnomer, but Remmers was actually good at right tackle when he played there, and Niang will compete. Like, to me, they're not as far behind as they make it seem. Yes, I definitively want a left tackle, but no, I do not think there is, I don't know, as backwards as some would compare it to.
Yeah, and I agree with you, Cody, too, because like I said, and maybe it wasn't clear, but like with everyone they have in there, They had that one left tackle spot is probably the big question mark. And it's a big one. I think it's a big one. But when you kind of look at the rest of the line, you know, with the, some of the additions they have with Tooney and you know, we'll see what happens with Kyle Long, what he's able to kind of, and then you got Long of an HRDF coming back. And then you talked about the guy, Niang, who was supposed to be a rookie last year and opted out. And he's going to be coming back and seeing what he's going to be able to do, in the tackle position, you know, competing with Mike Remmers on that right spot. You know, so you never, you know, I think there's a lot of question marks, but I think that they got a lot of horsepower on that offensive line. I think it's just going to be able to where they're going to be able to move those parts and where it's going to be best suited for protection for Patrick Mahomes.
Lynn, we were talking about Mitchell Schwartz a little bit earlier on in the show, and right now I think It's kind of an unknown for all of us. Of course, he was cut by Kansas City, but, you know, he still can't, you know, bend, lift, twist, all that. He's got a back injury. We don't really...
No BLTs.
Yeah, no BLTs. We don't know the full extent there. I don't even know if he's playing football again. I think certainly he's hoping he can going forward. What do you think happens in the scenario that Serta, our producer, pointed out, which is, let's say it is next season and it's week 10 and Mitchell Schwartz is playing at an all-pro level again for somewhere else. Do you think people will look back at the Chiefs' decision and yeah, of course people would question it, but do you think people would look back and say, man, the Chiefs messed this thing up?
Foresight is not 2020, but yeah, it's going to be, yeah, that's a tough one. That's kind of a tough situation because, you know, even like it was kind of strange, even when Brett Beach had the press conference a couple months ago talking about, you know, Mitchell Schwartz and Eric Fisher saying that both these guys are going to be ready by training camp.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I think it kind of caught everyone off guard, like, really? And then, you know, and then they end up cutting both of them. So you kind of look at this year with the progress. I think Mitchell Schwartz posted something about a workout that he was doing, so he's kind of getting back in the routine, which is great to see, and such a good guy, by the way. And you know, you wish him all the success of the world. You know, you wish he'd be with the Kansas City Chiefs, but, you know, also at the same time, I mean, is there an opportunity that maybe, you know, if that is progressing, you know, that he comes back to Kansas City? You know, I mean, I don't know.
Yeah,
it's far-fetched or not, but I mean, you know, so I guess, you know, it also depends on cap space and everything like that, but I mean, yeah, I don't know. Yeah, that's a tough one to see him. You know, you hope he does well, but it does sure stink if he does well with someone other than the Kansas City Chiefs.
I bet he can make fajitas at home.
Yeah, he's a good. He could definitely make fajitas.
Did you see that mac and cheese, whatever that was, the other day that he put out on Instagram?
He used it as a burger bun.
Oh my goodness!
I didn't know what that was. I saw it. I didn't know what that was, but it looked like a heart attack in the making when I was taking a peek at it.
He made leftover mac and cheese into a bun for a burger.
That's what it looked like.
Yeah. Which is probably not the healthiest way to go, but at the very least, it's creative. For, you know, Gold doesn't eat enough leftovers. Maybe that would get him to do it, Lynn.
Yeah.
That still involves cooking, though. That's the problem. That's the only problem. I'm looking at a photo of it now. That's incredible. Yeah. That looks absolutely amazing.
Yeah, and the new guy, Austin Blythe, he's not a big fan of barbecue.
How about that? We were saying, like, look, Lynn, we like the honest answers, right? You want an honest answer from these guys, but I was stunned by it. I was stunned he didn't make something up.
Yeah, that was kind of, you know, he's born in Kansas City, which is strange that he was, not strange that he was born in Kansas City. It was strange that no one knew that he was born in Kansas City, because if you look up, like, the Wikipedia page and, like, the Pro Football Reference page, it has him born in Iowa. And then let everyone know that he was actually born in Kansas City and then moved up to Iowa shortly after that. And then he was asked about the barbecue, and I guess he does like pulled pork, just not with the barbecue.
That's right.
He'll learn.
I was going to say, I think that'll change pretty quickly. Lynn Jennings, sports director over at Channel 9. Good to check in with you, man. Appreciate it.
Hey, guys. Hey, thanks for having me on. Have a great weekend.
You as well. Lynn Jennings over at Channel 9. He's on board with the fajitas. He is on board.
No, I didn't say I didn't enjoy eating fajitas. That was never uttered. I just said they're an attention-grabbing
meal.
I
do think the texter that pointed out the birthday thing has a very strong counter. Because that's way more attention-seeking. The fajitas, you're just ordering a food item. So it just so happens that it has a lot of steam coming off of it. They do usually, like, carry it up high. Like, they
it's a whole show. Surprised they don't do it with sparklers.
You must hate, like, a hibachi restaurant, then, where they cook the
food
in front of you.
That's all the food. It's very different. And, yes, the whole point of that is to be, now, look.
Do you hate when they toss the shrimp to you and I catch the shrimp?
You're not the attention seeker in that case. The cook is. Like, they're putting on a production.
But the guy that's catching the, like, if you're catching the shrimp.
That's everybody. He makes everybody take some part in that. I've been to
a hibachi. So you have no issue with that?
No.
I don't love hibachi.
All right, well, it's one of my favorite things, which, Love hibachi.
That's another place where I feel like they're pretty much all the same.
No. Trust me.
You think there's a quality difference in hibachi?
I have not eaten enough to be sure. Text line. If you've been to, even in the area, three or four different ones over the years, there's one that was the best and it doesn't exist anymore. The best. And then there's like two or three now, and one is way more superior than the others.
What is the one that was the best that no longer
Nico's.
Exists?
It was in the Marriott in Overland Park. Nico's. It was fantastic. Doesn't exist anymore. It was the best one in the area. So good. Doesn't exist. Some other ones, the fried rice isn't as good as some of these other ones.
Maybe it's because it was inside a Marriott.
Nico, text line, Nico's was the best ever. See? Not alone. Nico's was so good.
Never went.
N-I-K-K-O-S, I believe. Yeah. Yeah. So good.
There was always the place on the, like, just off, like, Westport that people would Gojo's.
Yeah.
That people would go to. Yeah, actually, I don't think that's open either.
Yeah, close.
Anymore.
People are some place in Manhattan that I'm supposed to try. There you go.
You driving out to Manhattan for hibachi?
No.
You said you wouldn't even drive across town for a good taco. You're out here. Yeah.
No, I'm not driving to Manhattan. He said next time you're in Manhattan, if I'm ever out there.
There you go.
For a K-State event or something, a football game.
Catch out the hibachi place.
That's right. Driving to Manhattan for hibachi. Manhattan, Kansas, home
of. You mix it up sometimes.
Yeah.
What are you doing? Like, what are you doing this weekend? You got somewhere to be? You can spend 2 hours in a car to get hibachi.
Text line.
I used to do that. I'd drive to Lawrence just to, like, get lunch.
You don't even live that far. You're probably, like, 40 minutes from Lawrence. Maybe
that's
less.
That's a decent drive for food.
I'm just saying, you're not even that far.
And I'd, like, go with a friend. We'd, like, make a day out of it. We'd drive to Lawrence to try whatever new place there was. Like, drink a little bit and then drive back.
Someone says Fuji Steakhouse in Liberty. Apparently, they like. Now we're getting all kinds of Japanese hibachi restaurants.
Never been there either. I apparently don't go to hibachi restaurants very often.
So I'm surprised because I go because I like the I'll get, you know, steak and the fried rice and everything. I don't like sushi. I'm surprised you don't like those.
I like sushi
because you love sushi. You would.
I'll also drink sake.
Yeah, well, sake is great. Yeah, I have no issue with sake at all. Love sake. Let's all go to a hibachi restaurant.
There's plenty of fantastic sushi places where I can go just to get sushi.
Of course you can.
It feels like I'm not getting the full hibachi experience if I go there to get sushi.
We don't have to sit at the hibachi.
Going to the hibachi, right?
They have normal tables.
Never
right?
sat at a normal
Neither
table.
Neither have I. I'm with you. If you're going to the hibachi
if
restaurant,
if they're not going to throw shrimp in my mouth, yeah. I mean, make volcanoes out of the onions. What am I doing if I'm not doing
that's
that?
That's exactly right. Yeah.
That's the vibe.
They all have the same joke. I'll give you that. The food quality is different in each one. They all got the same jokes. Like the whole egg roll thing. Ha, ha, ha. The egg roll. Yeah. And they throw the egg in the hat. All that's been done years and years and years ago at every one.
You realize it takes like hundreds of hours to be trained in that? It's ridiculous.
I was waiting
for... It's like a two-year internship.
I was waiting for you to tell me...
To become a hibachi chef. It's crazy.
I was halfway expecting you to tell me that you can do that.
No.
The way
God,
you talk
no.
about the cook, I was halfway no. expecting Cody to be like,
we
you know,
learn
guys,
how to do
you
it.
Know, guys, I can toss the egg into my cap too when I'm cooking.
Can we just no. take like hibachi classes
this
and
feels
learn
like,
how to become?
Yeah, this feels like a bet
that
I eventually
knife, where they cut those vegetables insanely quick and fast.
I got,
amazing.
That sounds fun. I had to learn to juggle glass bottles because I talked too much trash in a bar once. I was like, that guy's juggling bottles. Not that impressive. I could learn to do that. And I bet $200 I couldn't learn it in a year. So I had to, like, practice juggling bottles all the time so I wouldn't lose this $200 bet, which I lost.
You're telling me if you have somebody over for dinner and you knew how to, like, hibachi, you wouldn't do it to show
then
off?
Then you would have to, like, get the grill. You got to do it.
You can get those Blackstone griddle tops. Yeah,
you can buy those flat tops that you just put
over
your... Oh, no,
man, you'd be in it.
You wouldn't tell me every meal you wouldn't have an onion volcano. You would have every meal. Some of them even get more serious. Like they'll like try to make it look like there's like little like flames coming out of even more so. Like they'll do the cracked pepper over the onion volcano, so then it makes little like firework looking things coming off.
Yeah, if I learned to do that, I would probably do that at home. But I am not at this stage going to commit years of my life to learn the art of hibachi grilling. Like I gotta just let that dream die. I just don't think I'm in it.
All right, let's get to the snitch line here on a Thursday.
The number you have reached,
you've called the snitch line.
And if I have to tell you again, we're going to take it outside and I'm going to show you what it's like.
913-662-1270.
Leave him alone!
Please leave your message for Thursdays at 1:15 on Cody and Gold.
And if you think I'm kidding, just try me. Try me.
So we're good?
913-576-7610. The snitch line wide open. You can text it in. You got something to get off your chest. Yourself, maybe even you holding something in for a while. Maybe you needed to get off a take about fajitas like Cody did earlier today and snitching on somebody. Whatever it may be. Text line, it's wide open on the snitch line. 913-576-7610.
I'll start with myself because I realized I didn't mean to do this, but it absolutely happened. So it wasn't an intentional slight.
Uh-oh.
But then I had realized when I was having, so we were having our windows installed, right? By the window source?
Mm-hmm.
So we're having those installed, and then I was reminded of some work we had done at our old house before, you know, we were leaving. So, like, one of the things we had done was, like, some shingles done. Like, look, I didn't do anything wrong with the house. We had some shingles redone that were, like, in not as good enough shape for whatever.
Mm-hmm.
So I had worked through this through, like, a friend. Said, hey, I'm just looking for someone to do this kind of work. Do you know somebody who does it? Yeah. He's like, sure, I'll get you set up. They were set up. So I was told, like, I bought all the materials, all purchased. Like, I purchased all the materials. I was just going to pay for the labor.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was like, hey, I was told to pay $300. I was like, okay, yeah, no big deal. So I got out cash. I was ready to pay him. I tried to hand it to the guy. When they finished the work, I'm like, hey, here's your money. He's like, oh, no. You're not supposed to pay us. Just pay the other guy. I'm like, I don't even know who the other guy is. Said, I don't know who the other guy is. I'm like, all right, I guess I'll just pay that guy. So then I reached out to the friend. I'm like, hey, this guy says I got to pay the other guy. Let me know. He's like, okay, sure, no big deal. I'll check on it. And then I didn't hear anything for like a couple weeks. And I sent him one more follow-up like, hey, I still think I'm probably supposed to pay this guy. I hadn't heard anything. Nothing. Still never paid him. This has been 6 months. I don't know who I was supposed to pay.
You waited too early. This is too early for you to be snitching on this. This is still
within
6 months.
Look, if I still got to pay it, I'll pay it. I owe that money to somebody.
That other guy might be listening right now, and you're going to get a phone call here. If you're that other guy out
there. Or maybe he's not worried about it because the guy he recommended to that guy never obviously realized it. The workers were paid for it. That was at least confirmed.
Okay,
but I don't, like, whatever larger company or operation that was handling this project no longer did.
And I feel like at this point, yeah, you're just, whatever, just move on from it.
Look,
for sure.
if like within the next year, if they're like, hey, where's my $300? I got you.
So you're good because it was only $300. It's probably a bigger contractor. They don't want to waste their time tracking you down anyway.
But they just forgot about, like, I tried to pay the guys directly. Like, I had the cash. I'm like, here's your money. He's like,
this is not,
you're
where
not supposed to pay us.
This is not where I thought the story was headed, Serta. I thought when first
you thought I did faulty work on my house and I'm going to admit it.
Well, when
a year later? No, I don't think so.
I thought we were going to get back to something that had been brought up before. I thought when you said, hey, I remembering your windows at your new house, but you said you remember some work you did on the old house. I thought you told us you drove by the old house again and happened to see the neighbor
and went
on Facebook and stalked her like you did before.
I did not drive.
I thought that's
house.
What the story
We've
was
We've not
about
communicated
to be.
In many months.
Communicated.
Is she all right?
I don't know. We haven't talked.
You want to check?
We haven't talked.
You're friends with her on Facebook.
I guess I never search her name, but I don't think I don't get on there very often. But I don't think she posts very often,
Is she on wikifeet.com? Do we know? Do we know from earlier?
I'm innocent in this. I was just letting you know.
I wasn't sure.
Let other people snitch.
I snitched
on myself. I didn't mean to. I tried to pay multiple times.
913-576-7610 from the 816. Hold on. It just now moved down. A bunch of people texted in. There's a man and a woman from my wife's group of friends from high school that slept together while they were on a break from dating their eventual spouses, who were also in this group of friends from high school.
Sounds like you're clean. Is it a secret? Like, are you saying it because the couple that is together doesn't know?
Maybe.
Because that's awkward.
No, I mean, they were on a break at the time, so I don't think there's like nobody's cheating on anybody here. But maybe it was unknown that, hey, we're really good friends with that individual. Yeah, we slept together while we were on break, kind of thing.
Oh, interesting.
It's a little awkward if that's the case. But they don't know. Like, they don't know. So, you know.
And honestly, they're together now. It happened while you were on a break. There's no harm, no foul here. I would probably not tell them. I think it's probably better to just. It's probably better they don't.
It's high school. I mean, we're all.
It's been a while.
A little loose with our morals back then.
A little looser morally.
Next up on the text line, the snitch line, 913-576-7610. This one says, my brother put a gay porn star magnet on my bumper. Didn't realize it till an entire softball tournament noticed it. So I kept it and put it on his car for his entire drive from Topeka to Chicago, where people kept honking at him and he didn't notice it till he got to his destination.
Nice. I like innocent.
Oh man.
I don't know where you purchase a gay porn star magnet, but. Solid prank.
Maybe from the gift
shop
at wikifeet.com.
Perhaps.
I don't know. Maybe they sell it on
there.
I'm not sure. What else you got on the snitch line?
I didn't, you know what? It froze on me, so I don't know.
Okay.
I don't have another snitch for myself, but I apologize.
Let's see. That one's not going to work. We've got a friend who's a contractor. We often ask him for recommendations for small, specific jobs because the guys do the work and forget the bill. And forget to bill. Someone's just backing you
someone
up.
Someone says from the 913, our HOA president embezzled $40,000 and moved away. Oh, no.
HOA should be illegal. I don't own a house, but they sound like they serve no one except for the worst people in the neighborhood.
From the 816, 40-year-old, married with a family, spent $2,000 on a one-wheel electric skateboard thing. Didn't ask my wife first. Not sorry.
I don't even know
by the
what
way,
that is.
If you, I don't know, a but if you're making $2,000 purchases without the wife's permission, sometimes that ends
yeah,
in
what's the what, what's the limit? You're the only married one on
2000?
The show. What, no, well, what's the limit? Like $200?
Yeah, that's probably the number. I think if I were going to spend $300 on something that wasn't like, I spent a little over $200 the other day on some tools, and I didn't ask.
So let me ask you this. We know that NBA Top Shot, there's a chance there's a $1,000 pack.
I'm just going to buy it and not say anything.
Is that one you got to ask the wife for?
I'm probably going to warn her it's coming, but I'm not going to.
Is she good now that you've got the money, that we've got the money from
help.
The first one?
Yeah, that's, okay. See, that's got to boost me here. I've proven to make money off of it. I don't think I'll get kickback on it before. Had we not made any money in the first purchase I was getting ready to make on NBA gifts was $1,000, yeah, it would have been a tough
but
sell.
Now that the money's in the bank accounts now. So
but I didn't ask the first time, right? I might have to spend $100 in the first pack, and I didn't say, hey, I'm going to spend $100 is not enough to have a conversation about.
Yeah.
$200, $300, $2,000? Probably.
$1,000's pretty steep. Especially this one-wheel skateboard thing. I'm going to be real, whoever texted that in. That was a terrible purchase. That
you
thing
don't
is
even
not
know what
worth
it looks
that
like.
Thing. I just looked it up. That thing is not worth $2,000.
Is it $2,000?
There's some that are close to that.
One wheel XR.
These look pretty fancy. I bet they'd be fun for a bit. I just
what
don't know. Like
on Earth, would that you... looks incredible, but not for $2,000.
I don't know. Like it's funny because like, did you buy it for your kid or for
16,
you?
Go 16 miles an hour.
Is that when your wife says, "How much did that cost?" And you're like, "I don't know, a few $100." She finds out later it's $2,000. Look, if you're happy, I'm glad you're happy.
Oh, we got one quick follow-up, by the way, from the snitch line from a few weeks ago on the snitch line. From the 816, follow-up from a couple weeks ago. Neighbor was putting his trash in the extra bins. Remember
yeah,
that?
What happened?
Not buying his own? Well, he must listen to the show, too, because last week he purchased another bin and brought over some barbecue to say he was sorry. He didn't know that I had cameras. Thanks to your show, I got some free ribs.
Nice.
We're just trying to help people here.
Look, the snitch line snitch can line. Be good for all.
How about that? See, look, all is good.
This is nice. What a nice story.
You wanted to know if
happy
you needed
ending.
To confront the individual? The individual must have just been here and like, I'm that guy.
Look, I bought the bin. That is me. Damn it, he's talking about me. Well, he's got cameras, and now you don't have to worry about it. Everybody has their own bins. That's problem
not,
solved.
That is not bad at all. Hey, coming up next, your chance at $1,000. Maybe it can help you get that one-wheel skateboard or something like that. We'll also get
only
to what's trending.
There, apparently.
What's trending next?
Cody and Gold, weekdays 10 to 2, 610 Sports Radio.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track 4 games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
What's trending?
All right, let's check in on the hot topics trending.
We'll get to number one on what's trending in just a second, but first, it's another shot at $1,000 in our cash contest.
Every time, the fourth time, always gets me. Your dash for the cash code word this hour is skate. As in, you could buy a $2,000 one-wheel skateboard, S-K-A-T-E, skate. Not the whole word, just skate. Text that over to 72881. Boy, that really worked out for me. For complete rules, go to 610sports.com. Another chance coming up probably after the drive, depending on, or after the baseball game, depending on what time that one ends. We have another chance for that as well. Message and data rates may apply. Cash contest is powered by BetQL. Let BetQL's proven data and analytics help you become a better bettor. Download the BetQL app today. That was Skate. SKATE to 72881.
Number one on what's trending, the Masters round one underway down at Augusta, Georgia. Your leader, well, there's three tied atop the leaderboard at four under. Hideki Matsuyama, Webb Simpson, and Mark Leishman, your leaders. Have Matsuyama through 16, Simpson through 14, Leishman still on the front nine at hole number seven. As far as local connections out there, just to keep an eye on Gary Woodland, he is even through six, tied for 20th, as it just continues to update live as we go through here. And then obviously Robert Streb, the K-State product, he currently, fortunately, since we last checked, he finished three over through 18.
What happened? He was two under for a while.
Yeah. Hey, look, man, this thing changes. Changes in a hurry. One of the bigger surprises so far, at least through round one, Rory McIlroy, five over through 13.
Yikes.
Tied for 83rd. But so very, very early on at the Masters.
Brooks Koepka's three over playing on that knee injury, although he just pegged one 4 feet from the hole. So he's got a chance to get to two under here with a putt.
Defending champ Dustin Johnson, one under through 14 today.
It was a chip in, by the way, off the green. Yeah, shot for eagle, too. Ooh. And settled for birdie on that end. Next up on what's trending, Sean Miller. Well, his 18 years at Arizona are done. Yesterday, he got the news he'd be let go by the University of Arizona. A bit of a surprise, not a bit of surprise on there. Surprising that it ended the way they did. Why stick with him so long? Like, his investigation stuff started the same as Bill's stuff. That's been going on for 2 years. And it seems like now they're claiming lack of institutional control to let him go. And to me, it's not surprising to let him go. It's surprising they took this long to do it. If you're going to do it under those circumstances, you could have done this a while ago with Miller.
Yeah, they stuck by him for 4 years or so with all this NCAA
stuff.
That's
a long time. And then they're like,
man,
no
more. They won 19 games this year, but they were ineligible. It was a self-imposed ban because their ultimate fate has not been decided. They're kind of in that holding pattern like KU or any of these other schools that are out there. But yeah, Sean Miller out at Arizona. Next up on what's trending, just continue each day really to get updates on what's going on between Deshaun Watson and obviously the litigation efforts that are down there. For the first time, Deshaun Watson has filed paperwork in support of his own position. So his attorney filed a motion to strike the complaint that was filed by one of his 22 accusers. They want the requirement to be document to be refiled with the name of the victim. We know so
far why they're doing that.
Only two of the victims' names have become public knowledge at this point. One was public through a letter. The other, we played the cut a day or two ago of the victim who spoke live in front of cameras about her experience and her, you know, what she alleges occurred to her, obviously, and what Deshaun Watson did to her. So at this point, we've seen Nike drop, Beats by Dre drop their endorsements, and then a very popular local company down in the Houston and Texas area. So the NFL, I mean, I just wonder the timeline on it. We don't know how it's all going to end up, certainly the criminal stuff, let alone the civil lawsuits and everything that are out there, 22 of them. But the NFL, the fact that he's not on a commissioner's list yet is still almost surprising. Like, I feel like we're getting pretty close to where he's got to end up on the commissioner's list till they can buy themselves some time to try to figure out what the next step is, because it's getting worse and worse every day.
A lot of lawsuits, a lot of people named. You got to do something just to kind of like, and obviously they're not, Deshaun Watson's camp's not doing a good job slowing it down. When they filed that motion, they filed part of it, Gold, saying, hey, you know, he didn't do any of these things non-consensually, which doesn't exactly say none of those things happened with a lot of licensed massage therapists. So it's really hard to get a good feel for it still, other than the fact it looks very damning for Deshaun Watson, obviously, at this stage. Lastly, on what's trending, let me remind you, as we head towards draft season, you can head to 610sports.com right now, Gold, and register for the Cody and Gold Draft Predictor. Easy. You tell us the name of the player who gets drafted at 31. You get that right, you'll be entered to win a Tyreek Hill full-size autographed helmet just for trying to guess it right. And if you're like, well, they're going to trade out, good news. If they trade out, every single person who enters their guess of the player at 610sports.com will be entered for a chance to win that autographed Tyreek Hill helmet. Very easy. Do whatever you got to do. Follow Binks, Mock. Follow Todd McShay's mock. Go
whoever.
With your gut.
Yeah.
At this point, probably guess offensive line. But whatever you do, you got a chance to do that just by going to 610sports.com. You'll see it on the front page there, our draft predictor for Cody and Gold.
Yeah, the draft's April 29th, so you got to have those in, of course, before the first round of the NFL draft. That's what's trending here on Cody and Gold. Here in about 20 minutes, we're going to hand things off to Josh Vern, your Royals insider. Vern's on deck show, getting you set for Royals and White Sox. 3:10 first pitch. Here on 610 Sports Radio, Brad Keller, who was pushed back a day, he'll get the start today against Lance Lynn. And Yeah, weather definitely going to be a factor today. Could be a little bit of a delay. We kind of joked around with Vern earlier when he joined us that, who knows, maybe it's an hour delay at some point during the game. Maybe there's no delay at all, but hopefully they get this game in later on this afternoon. The Royals' first game of the year against the White Sox. It's the opening day for the Chicago White Sox, as a matter of fact. And, of course, one of the teams that a lot of people have pegged to win the AL Central. And as we've pointed out time and time again, and the players in Kansas City are all well aware of it, the White Sox had the Royals' number, to say the least, a year ago. And
they
big time
them down constantly. Have their number. I mean, I don't know how to, like, got their ass kicked for an entire year. They lost 10 of 11 games. And a lot of those games, Gold, were not particularly close. The White Sox are without two very important players. They're without Tim Anderson, who is on the IL. He landed on it yesterday officially. And they're without Aloy Jimenez, who died.
Yeah, that's according to the White Sox.
He did not die. They just, like, the White Sox made it seem that
according
way.
To the White Sox, he's no longer with us, yes.
So he's out for 6 months.
Yeah.
But without those two players, they are obviously not as good of a team. Now, Lance Lynn is still a very good starter. He's been a good starter in the league for about a decade. But it's there's a lot. There's a lot on proving who you are by just hanging with the White Sox.
Absolutely.
Like, you just can't go down. You can't get punked the way you did the last time. That's why this series feels important early, because that's the team that you know for sure stands in your way. We're not sure how good Cleveland is with their lineup. We're not good, you know, like, is Minnesota going to be the same? We'll see. But you know Chicago's good.
Yeah.
Like, even I poo-pooed them a little bit last year, but I'm not there yet. They're good. They're a good team. You got to play better at some point. Otherwise, you're just going to feel like you're in quicksand again.
No question. And today in particular, I think we're all kind of keeping an eye. I think we know what the best of Brad Keller looks like, but I think we certainly would love to see Brad Keller bounce back in a big way after a really disappointing opening day performance. If you were still, like, concerned that maybe there's something going on with Brad Keller, we'd all like some confirmation that just was a bad outing on opening day. That was it. Be nice if he goes out there and pitches really well today against the White Sox to kind of ease any concerns that may be out there about Brad Keller with the start getting pushed back and his performance on opening day and everything like that. So hopefully that game gets in. And
no word yet on it being pushed back or anything. The game starts in an hour and 20 minutes.
Yeah, so you'd think there already be, like, you know, some word that nope, they're already pushing it back an hour. So far, so good. Again, Vern will continue to update you on that during his On Deck show coming up in about 20 minutes or so. Just still with baseball, we'll get to more on the draft predictor and maybe the strategy that Brett Veach will bring to the table. But we saw it yesterday in Cleveland, and it's five games in. Buster Olney was already talking about it. He thinks that Michael A. Taylor essentially in any other year would have hit a home run. So it was at the end of the game yesterday, off the closer of Cleveland, Michael A. Taylor flies out to the warning track. Buster Olney sent out a tweet that says he thinks Michael A. Taylor experienced the 2021 mush ball for the first time this year, and that the Cleveland closer looked absolutely shocked that the ball stayed in the park. And so far, the research and the numbers, I should just say, show that the average fly ball has traveled 15 feet less than a year ago.
But homers are happening more often.
But the Royals are hitting home runs actually more than they typically do. And certainly
all of baseball is.
Across the board. So it's kind of bizarre. It's five games. Fly balls are traveling. What's going on here? Michael A. Taylor, who's normally a 12 home run guy, already has a couple home runs this year. So it's just really bizarre. But Buster Olney believes, and based on the Cleveland closer's reaction, that essentially Michael A. Taylor, that's normally a home run ball. But it wasn't. Why?
Well, and was it really the ball, or did he just really not get all of it? Because you're right. I went back and actually looked at the play because I was like, okay, is Buster just saying that because he was watching it live, or did he actually feel that way? No, it looks like he felt that way. It seems early research is actually suggesting this is such nerdy baseball. Early research is saying is, like, if you hit it a little bit higher, the ball isn't traveling quite as far. But that doesn't account for all the other ways you can still hit a baseball. So if you're hitting it normal, it's still traveling the way it was traveling before. It turns out, and there's a really good article by Rob Arthur and Ben Lindbergh, who both do, like, baseball analytics stuff over on The Ringer.
Who?
It doesn't really matter who they are, but if you're just looking for the piece, it's on The Ringer. When you go through their version of it, it's like Major League Baseball didn't field test it. They just changed the ball because they thought that it would make a difference and then figured it would make a difference. They don't know how the baseball is going to react in season. So I can't tell you how it's going to react in season. That ball did seem like it should have been gone. Based on old baseball, the way baseball's been the last 5 years, that ball, or whenever they, like, it was like midway through 2016, when I was like, why are there home runs all the time? That was about that time. Or midway through 2017. When you look at it, there's conflicting evidence. there's a higher percentage of home runs being hit this year. Like there's going to be a record number again. Is there the 5-game pace? That while the ball's traveling 15 less feet, what the hell's happening here? The problem is, by the way, the biggest problem baseball has is not any of this gold. The biggest problem they have is, guess what it hasn't reduced? Swing and miss rate. They want balls in play. They're focused on the wrong thing. A home run to me is a ball in play. I know you're like, well, it's not in the field, it's not action, it's not fun. People like homers. They're fine if the ball goes over the fence. Get rid of the shift. If you want more balls in play, more singles, get rid of the shift and let guys pull singles. That's it. That's the simple solution. I don't know why. It's not that complicated, truthfully.
We'll see what levels out. It's
pitchers not, have probably know,
we're,
hated.
We're, sure, we're 5 days into this thing, 5 games into this thing, and it is bizarre. Fly balls are traveling 15 feet less, but you have home runs up, and what's gonna give here as we get further into it? And time will certainly tell on that. But it was an interesting observation from Buster Olney when he was watching the Royals and the Indians, and certainly you brought up the strikeout rate so far too, and swing and miss. So far, the Royals, though, it's been a pleasant surprise at how patient they've been. You know, like Salvador Perez yesterday, by the way, perfect example, though, of the full package there, right? Home run, struck out, and walked. All of it. And he's got more walks than he had all of last year. Now, last year was a 60-game season in which he didn't play in all 60 games.
But he played in 37.
Yeah, and so that's a promising sign as far as their plate approach. We were wondering what it would be like against Shane Bieber, who's one of the best pitchers in the game, was the Cy Young Award winner a year ago. So Royals baseball, 3:10 first pitch, Ferns on Deck show 15 minutes away. You mentioned the Cody Engel draft predictor that is up on 610sports.com. A few people were texting in. They're like, well, what happens if the Chiefs trade up? Well, it's their first pick unless they trade out of the first round, so... That's how you got to type it in, if you're wondering. So pick 31 is what they have. But if they trade up to 23 and you have them taking an offensive tackle, whatever
name. It's just the players.
Yep, that's all. It's still as simple as that. You'll be entered then at that point to win an autographed Tyreek Hill helmet. Are the Chiefs trading out of the first round, though? Because, again, we brought up that scenario. Everybody would be entered to win it if the Chiefs trade out of the draft. And as you've pointed out, that's something that Brett Veach has never done. Never traded back yet. He's traded up. He's got 8 picks this year. Is he trading back or not? I don't sense that that's going to happen. I hope not at pick 31. I'll be a little disappointed.
I would maybe not at pick 31. I'm not demanding that he trade out of pick 31. that's crazy. But in a deep draft, and this draft is supposed to be, in a draft that's deep in multiple positions in which the Chiefs need, and this draft is supposed to be, like some of the positions it's not deep at are like running back. Cool, don't care, right? It's not super deep at linebacker. Whatever. Great. It has decent edge players. It has really good wide receivers. Really good wide receivers. It's supposedly really deep at offensive linemen. Great. You should feel really good. But what I would say is I would like him to have other clubs to play, other things to pull out of the bag, if you want the Masters analogy here. He has only traded up. That's his move. And truthfully, it hasn't gone great, the trading up part. When he stands and picks at his spot, it's been going fine. For the most part, he really only has what I would call one strong draft in three, but I wouldn't call that abnormal for a person who had just started drafting for his team to say, hey, 3 years into it, one bad draft, one eh draft, one good draft. I feel like he's heading in the right direction. But I just want to know that that ability is there, because sometimes that is the move. I'm not saying that's always the move. The teams that just trade down, trade down, trade down, trade down, trade down. That doesn't work for them all the time either. See the New England Patriots or multiple other franchises that employ that strategy. But for the teams who trade up, history would tell you that is a much riskier proposition than doing it. And I know that he was a part of the most valuable trade-up in franchise history when he was an assistant underneath John Dorsey, and they traded up to number 10 and took Patrick Mahomes. I know that it has worked. But I worry if that like gets you in bad habits. Does that make sense, Gold? Like, you succeeded in trading up, so now you feel like that's the play if it's your guy, if you're dead set on him.
I guess
sometimes you shouldn't feel that way.
I don't know if this is just more the gambling nature of me. I would rather have the aggressive general manager than the guy that's sitting back, though, in trading back. And I'm not against, like, hey, stockpile picks. Absolutely. If you feel there's a situation where this guy is going to be there.
Seven guys you like, and you got to move.
Yeah, or if you like two or three guys you're fine with, and so you're like, oh, they'll both be there, or one of them will be there at pick, 15 picks later. Yeah, I get the thought process of stockpiling picks. And yes, we know that with the salary cap, it's going to go up, but still you have expensive contracts on the books. You need to draft extremely well and build your roster through the draft. That's not a secret. And so if you had more picks, you would say you got more darts to throw at the board. I get it. But especially in the first round this year, This is not a year where I would be thrilled if we're sitting there on Thursday night, we get to pick 31, they trade out
they
of
pass.
It, and it's Friday morning, and the Chiefs haven't made a pick, and especially if the Chiefs hadn't signed a veteran left tackle at that point in time. I'm a little more confident if Villanueva or whoever gets signed before the draft, and then it's pick 31, and they say, you know what, we're going to trade back. And then, again, we would all want to see how far back do they go? Are they moving back 5 spots? Or are they moving back 20 spots in the draft? Are they, you know what I mean? Are they adding additional picks that way? So that's the only thing that would be
interesting. The further they move back, the higher pick below that they would be picking up.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So I just, to me, it's not the year where you say, at least in the first, I know you're talking second, third, fourth round as well. I get it. And I think
any
that's
part of the draft. He's never done that in any stage.
But first round's not where I want them at 31 trading back. Not this year where I feel like you need to find your starting left tackle, the future, and maybe the present, depending on what they do for the rest of the free agency at the left tackle
in
spot.
Particular in the first round, I tend to be a little more of an advocate for trading up. It's just easy to get it wrong. I mean, half of the first round picks that people choose don't work out. See Isaiah Wilson maybe from a couple of years ago?
Disaster. Well, he's going down as the worst pick in NFL history. Ryan Leaf played 3 years. Isaiah Wilson didn't play.
He played in one game? Is that what we determined?
Eight snaps.
Like eight snaps or something?
Like
oh my God,
he's the worst pick in NFL history.
No one's going to remember that. You might because you've said it a few times. No one's going to remember that he was the first round pick in history.
People think Jamarcus Russell and Ryan Leaf. Sure.
They played a little.
They at least played. They were bad, but they played.
they were bad at football.
Yeah, he at least got some snaps out of them.
Yeah, that's better. That's better than what they had before. It's just employing, like, I know he likes to be the super aggressive guy. That's clearly who he is. He was super aggressive going after Trent Williams in free agency. They've been aggressive in free agency. They've been aggressive in re-signing their guys. He's an aggressive drafter. It's cool to lay back sometimes. You can't go 100,000 miles an hour every single second of every day. Sometimes you got to lay in the weeds. Look, I think to the opposite effect, Bill Belichick over the last 7 years has been trading back too much. Just stay where he is and take the guy he trusts. Trust his scouts. Take the right guy sometimes. Versus trade back. All these guys are the same. I'll just throw numbers at it. And there are people, by the way, in analytics groups that will tell you that is the only draft strategy. Just sheer numbers. It's all a crapshoot. You got no hope of knowing who it is. Just throw a bunch of numbers at the wall. And I think that that's an inaccurate, too. It's a marriage between the two, Gold. And all I'm looking for is Brett Veach to look at that marriage and understand that he has other options.
It'll be like things are going to really start to heat up. We're 3 weeks out, though, and you'll start to get and you always have to like shuffle through what we think is real or fake, like which is what we're trying to already do on the quarterbacks in the draft, just from an NFL perspective outside of Kansas City. Right. Like Mac Jones, like this stuff about him going 3. Is that real or is that intentionally smoke being thrown out there? You know, so that's going to be interesting. Yeah. What kind of smoke gets thrown out there related to the Chiefs as we get closer and closer to the draft? Are we going to hear that they really love this tackle or this tight end or whatever, right? But are we buying that that's actually what they're viewing? Are we going to be in for a surprise? Like as aggressive as Brett Veach was to try to get Trent Williams, of course they unfortunately couldn't get him to come to KC, but as aggressive as they were for that, why wouldn't he be aggressive in the draft trading up from 31, not trading down?
No, if it's the right offensive lineman, I still said I'm open to that too. I'm just saying you can trade back as well to recoup those picks.
The final word.
It's more than one thing. I like to say good things for Nicky Lopez right now. I don't know that that's going to stick forever. I don't know how long he can continue this. But for a guy who really was like cast asunder for a bit because he wasn't hitting in AAA or wasn't hitting in spring training, to be asked to be called back up there because Adalberto Mondesi was hurt and to just be a contributor. I don't think he's like always flashed at the plate looking like a masher, but he's done what you've mostly needed him to do. Let's get some singles. Let's get on base. Timely hit in the game yesterday, even if the game didn't end in a win. It's been nice to see him have that kind of success early. And sometimes the motivation of knowing you're getting ready to, after starting a full year in the majors, after doing that, or part year, I guess, you know, having to come back up and play well, good for Nicky. I'm happy for him.
Yeah, kind of felt that way a little bit on the first weekend. It's carried over. We'll see ultimately what the season brings. And it's been nice because Modesty's, you know, right now doesn't seem like he's coming back anytime soon. And so you needed someone to give you something out of the ninth spot. And he certainly has been able to do that. Royals baseball, 3:10 first pitch against the White Sox. Vern's On Deck show next here on 610 Sports Radio.
Cody and Gold, weekdays 10 to 2, 610 Sports Radio.